From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. That you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled, Paul, Ambassador to Nero's Court, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Daniel chapter 5 and verse 27. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. It is well frequently to weigh ourselves in the scale of God's Word. You will find it a holy exercise to read some psalm of David, and as you meditate upon each verse, to ask yourself, Can I say this? Have I felt as David felt? Has my heart ever been broken on account of sin as his was when he penned his penitential psalms? Has my soul been full of true confidence in the hour of difficulty as his was when he sang of God's mercies in the cave of Adullam or in the holds of En-Gedi? Do I take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord? Then turn to the life of Christ, and as you read, ask yourselves, how far you are conformed to his likeness. Endeavor to discover whether you have the meekness, the humility, the lovely spirit which he constantly inculcated and displayed. Take then the epistles, and see whether you can go with the apostle in what he said of his experience. Have you ever cried out as he did, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Have you ever felt his self-abasement? Have you seen to yourself the chief of sinners, and less than the least of all saints? Have you known anything of his devotion? Could you join with him and say, For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain? If we thus read God's Word as a test of our spiritual condition, we shall have good reason to stop many a time and say, Lord, I feel I have never yet been here. Oh, bring me here. Give me true penitence, such as this I read of. Give me real faith. Give me warmer zeal. Inflame me with more fervent love. Grant me the grace of meekness. Make me more like Jesus. Let me no longer be found wanting when weighed in the balances of the sanctuary, lest I be found wanting in the scales of judgment. Judge yourselves, that ye be not judged.
Fulfill thy word and make me pure.
If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. As a prisoner in Rome, Paul was chained to a Roman soldier at all times, yet he frequently referred to himself as a prisoner of the Lord. Rather than bemoaning his situation, the apostle shows to us a Christian overcoming his circumstances. His trust was in the Lord, whether he lived or died. During his imprisonment, Paul continued to carry out the commission the Lord had given him to preach the gospel by fervent evangelism, by encouraging others by his example, and by edifying believers through his epistles. His burdens were many, but the secret of his triumph is found in his union and his communion with Christ. Therein lies the path to victory in the Christian life. Now, to conclude this message, Paul, ambassador to Nero's court, here is Dr. Cairns.
Paul found something that you'll find when you get into tough times with the work of God, that he had the friendship of earth's best souls. In the public houses back home, those are the drinking dens, the taverns. They say that there's no company like pub company. There's no singing like pub singing. Let me tell you, for all their faults, and they have many, they're a bit like Oliver Cromwell's face. They have many good features, but the warts and all. The people of God, for all their faults, the greatest people on earth. Who is like unto the Lord? There's no God like our God. Who's like unto Israel, God's people? There's no people like God's people. When you get into deep water and into real trouble, why, it's good like Paul to know I have men that will stand beside me to the death. I have men that will pray with me and men that will pray for me. I have men that love me purely and honestly. I have people who would sacrifice their lives for me. Friendship of the best souls on earth. I think we're apt to lose too much of that in churches nowadays. I think we're too apt to come and go from the place of the holy, as the Bible puts it. And we're just like ships passing in the night. Ought not to be like that with God's people. There ought to be the bond of charity and of peace among the people of God. So these were his tasks: evangelization, encouragement, and edification. I was going to speak upon his trials, but if I speak on his trials, I think we're going to be here too long. Sometimes you think that Paul didn't really, when you see all this joy and rejoicing and victory, he didn't really suffer too much in prison. Philippians 2:27, he talks of sorrow upon sorrow. Now, we don't know what some of those sorrows were. The immediate cause for concern was the sickness of Epaphroditus. And what worried Paul, or what concerned him, was that Epaphroditus had come bringing the gift of the Philippians and had probably got sick on the journey and was near unto death for Paul's sake. You'll notice that Paul didn't do a miracle to heal him. Now, when he was on the island of Melita, he did a miracle to heal Publius's father. He did miracles to heal the heathen who came to him day by day. And here was a man that he loved in the Lord, and Paul didn't do any miracle to heal him. So much for the Pentecostal notion that it's always sin for a Christian to have sickness. So much for their notion that it's always the will of God to have a miracle of healing. Epaphroditus had to suffer. And when God willed to touch him by what we would say natural means, then he did it. And Paul was greatly concerned about that. But he said that would be one sorrow on top of all my other sorrows. What were those sorrows? We don't know. You see, the man who walks with God will have trials. The man who walks with God will have sorrows. But the man who walks with God will not be overcome of sorrow. He will not wear his heart on his sleeve, as it were, and go crying on everybody's shoulder and be moping and moaning here, there, and everywhere, spreading gloom and dismal darkness wherever he goes. In the midst of his sorrows, he will have the joy of the Lord. You see, think of this and follow it through for yourselves. There's a difference between happiness and joy. What the world thinks of happiness is so much tied in with feeling and condition. Joy is the abiding assurance of the Lord, overcoming everything else. And Paul had that. He had the joy of the Lord in the midst of all his trials and the midst of all his afflictions. And finally, Paul's triumph. Actually, this was to be the message, the most part of it, and the rest was to be a quick jaunt up to it, you know. Like a high jumper coming up to the bar, he takes a quick sprint, and then he goes over the top. Well, I'd hoped to take a quick sprint and get to here and spend a little time in the top. But we're going to have to just leave it very briefly. He did triumph. And let that be an encouragement to us. He did triumph in jail. In fulfillment of his own words in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph. Even in jail? Yes, he triumphed even there. The signs of this triumph, what were they? Well, the preaching of the word with boldness. We have noticed that. Acts 28:31. The word confidence there is the word that's usually translated boldness. Boldly, he preached the word. And notice the power and the blessing that followed the preaching of the word in Philippians 1. He refers to this, verse 12 through to verse 14. I would that ye would understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. There were a lot of people saved through Paul's imprisonment. He had victory. Now, what was the secret of this victory? Two things. Union and communion with Christ. Read his epistles to the Ephesians and the Colossians, written during this imprisonment. And what is the one thing that's uppermost in the meditation of the Apostle Paul? What is it? The key words of Ephesians are, in Christ. Everything he has to say to them is built around that one phrase, in Christ. The thing that filled him and thrilled him, so that he was inspired to write in Ephesians 1, a chapter in the Bible that is so deep, so expansive, and so sublime that the greatest commentators and theologians have only been able to stand back and gasp in awe at what he says. They can never plumb its depths or scale its summit. He was inspired to write those words on the union of the believer with Jesus Christ. What was the secret of Paul overcoming? He realized, I am not merely in prison. That's the body. I'm not merely in pain. That's the body. I'm not merely undergoing trial. But I am in Christ. Where is Jesus Christ? Ephesians chapter 1. Far above all principalities and powers and every name that is named. Where am I, says Paul? I'm in glory. I'm in victory. I am positionally in Jesus Christ. And there's not a power of hell can change that. And when a believer really understands his position, then he can exercise his privileges. It's when a Christian is ignorant or forgetful of what he has in Jesus Christ that he doesn't live up to what he has in Jesus Christ. Paul said in Ephesians 1 verse 3, remember, this is the word of a man chained in prison. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And here he is in prison. But he says, first of all, I am predestinated. I am elected. I am adopted. I am accepted. I am redeemed. I am given an inheritance. I have the Holy Ghost. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. I am saved by the grace of God. I have the exceeding riches of his grace. I have the promise of greater things to come. He says, I have union. Didn't I say a little while ago, what a man believes will be the bulwark for him in the days of trouble? It will be that which undergirds him in all his trials. And Paul believed, and he meditated upon the union of the believer in Jesus Christ. Someone put it this way. You get a little piece of fuse wire. It's little thicker than cotton. If you have even half normal strength, you can take it and you can snap it. But you take that same little piece of fuse wire and you embed it in a bar of thick-tempered steel. See what you can do to it then. Now, the illustration is simple and effective. Because ours is not a fusing. Ours is a true spiritual union. Take a believer away from Christ and the devil could damn him in hell and play with him like some diabolic toy. But the believer can't be taken away from Jesus Christ. He's in Christ and united to Jesus Christ. That's the secret of our triumph. But there's not only union. There's communion. In all the epistles, note the emphasis in Paul's prayers. He asked them to pray, but he says, I pray for you. How much Paul prayed. That's always the secret of overcoming. If you're in defeat this morning, I'll guarantee you haven't been in the place of prayer, at least consistently. You may be paying lip service to the place of prayer, but I'll guarantee you haven't been in touch with God in prayer and being in defeat. In your soul, communion. How much he prayed. Notice how much he prayed for others. Can you remember one prayer that Paul prayed for himself? Oh, he asked others to pray and he told them what to pray. But can you offhand remember one prayer in prison that Paul prayed for himself? And yet, if you have any knowledge of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, you'll know what Paul prayed for the churches. In other words, he was so taken up with the advancement of the work of God that he hadn't time to be in despair about his own situation. There's a wonderful statement in Ephesians 3 verse 10. I bow my knee. Now just underline those words. I bow my knee. Chained to a Roman soldier. Chained to a heathen unbeliever. I bow my knee. Continually. Unapologetically. Victoriously. Even with the soldier there, whether he likes it, whether he doesn't, whether he goes along with me or whether he mocks me, I bow my knee. How this shames us. We allow so little to keep us from prayer. It doesn't really take very much to keep a believer away from the place of prayer. Most believers, that is. Most Christians, they don't like to think that they're playing the hypocrite, and I wouldn't even use that term of them because it has overtones that I wouldn't want to convey in this connection. But we're dangerously close to it. Christians play with prayer. They pay lip service to it. Oh yes, I believe in prayer. But any excuse is good enough to miss the prayer meeting. Oh yes, I believe in prayer. I believe in it so much I spend, I'm sure, 5 minutes every day praying. Here's a man. His body's feeling the pains of age, worn out with years of trial, with every man's hand almost against him, his life in danger, for 4 years kept a prisoner, never out of a chain, night or day, and on the other end of it, a heathen soldier. And he says, yet I bow my knee to pray. People talk about Daniel praying 3 times every day. That was a wonderful thing. 3 times every day for that short period of danger. That was a wonderful thing. I'm sure Daniel would have done exactly what Paul did here. But I tell you, this is a greater miracle than Daniel praying 3 times a day. This is a man praying continually for 4 years. Chained to a heathen. And yet, we who say we believe the same things, we serve the same God, we love the same Christ, we have the same gospel in our lips, in our mouth, we have the same interest in our heart. And yet, anything's good enough to keep us from prayer. God give us Paul's heart. You'll never have Paul's fire for evangelism. Tell you Paul's communion with God, Paul's prayer. We have union with Christ. Let's therefore experience the triumph that union brings by making sure we stay in communion and that we can say, I bow the knee. I do spend time with God in prayer. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word. Give us victory in our lives. Lord, lift us over circumstances. Help us to walk on top of the waves, not plow underneath them. Lord, we ask thee in Jesus' name to grant us the grace of God to be more than overcomers and to be ambassadors for Christ, whatever our surroundings. Save the lost and set thy people on fire for God. Part us with thy blessing and keep us in thy fear. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, both this day and until our Lord Jesus either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.